What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
And Mini Del Macho.
All right, and we are missing, for the first time ever in DL history, Emilio is not here.
Bobby, have you ever missed a day?
No.
Oh, so you're still
100%. I've got the perfect record.
Well,
going.
He's got the robot endurance. And Emilio, apparently, from what I know, he's in the same... We're in his garage. We're in his studio. So he's here.
We
he's present. Spiritually. But from what I understand, he's just pissing and shitting himself and borderline almost dead. So if we lose him, we'll do some tryouts, guys.
Yeah. It must be pretty bad if he's not showing up to the episode. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
So. He was planning on doing it all day. And then like last minute, he was just like, all right, guys, I just can't. I can't do it today.
So we will carry on. It'll be an interesting experiment. I'm wondering how this will go.
Actually, in honor of Emilio, I am drinking. I had zero intentions of drinking. Oh. Minnie and I have our cups, and then Bobby has his water. It's generally a bad thing to toast with water, but we're doing it anyways. In honor of Emilio, I had my arms out. I went sleeveless for a little bit, and then I got self-conscious, and I put my sweater on. But maybe later in this episode, if it gets too hot, I'll just pretend to be Emilio.
If you get enough rum in you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand why it's bad to toast with water. I know that's a thing, but it's like, what do people have against hydration? I don't get it. But yeah, so this is going to be a weird one, but stick with us. We'll see how it goes. You know what's funny? We're missing Emilio, but you know who I talked to and gamed with this week? None other than Chad.
Really? Chad Flopsy.
We played some League of Legends. We played some Heroes of the Storm. We caught up.
No Smite?
It was awesome. No, he started playing some Smite, and I was like, I can't do that with you. I'm sorry. No, I've been clean from Smite for quite a while now. But he might meet up with me for Heroes of the Dorm. I was telling him about that May 12th. They're doing it in the Blizzard studio. So that'd be cool to see him up there.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it'd be good to see him again.
When you see him, you have to let me know if the circumference of his biceps have increased at all. So it was one of those things where Chad had, I know... We didn't start streaming while Chad was a part of the show, but if we did, he would just cover up a quarter of the screen because his biceps were so huge.
Yeah, it's a shame. We did a few Twitch streams when he was still around, but those were nothing like what we have now. Nothing like this amazing setup that we have now. But yeah, I'm getting lost in the show notes already. Great.
You're the host, Bobby. You have to take the reins. What's the gentleman that drives the coach?
The coachman?
The coachman? Is that a word?
A stagecoach?
The guy that drives it, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Coachman.
No, they have a name. I can't remember. There was a Seinfeld episode about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, so Emilio's gone this week. Chi, you were gone last week. We just can't keep a full crew around, apparently. So you missed some things. I mean, not a whole lot, but we did get a sizable donation. And you were asking, like, wow, that happened? Why did that happen? Well, I'll tell you why. Emilio and I were hanging out after the stream, playing some games, and it came up somehow that I can do the splits both ways. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I did that on stream. It's in the...
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Did you do it on the ground or on the desk?
Yeah, right there. We had to move the camera.
How the hell did you do the splits both ways?
I'm very flexible. It's a weird thing. It freaks people out.
I am so angry. Did you clip it? How did I miss that?
It's not clipped, but it is in the episode. If you go back and you go like right to the end, it was right after the show and right before we started playing games. We were playing some Double Dragon Neon.
Now, do you stretch at all, or is it just naturally you are like?
Yeah,
this?
Yeah. No, I keep it limber.
Okay.
Wow.
You know how it happened is you'll hear this sometimes. Maybe it'll happen now, but sometimes I move my leg and there's kind of a popping sound, and I got to do that every so often.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, well, that one's good. But yeah, so I did that, and Emilio was like, what the fuck was that? And I go, oh, well, my legs.
I don't think I've known a gentleman in person that didn't openly practice gymnastics or swung for the other team, or the same team, sorry, that knew how to do the splits both ways. And my mind is going to like 100 dirty different places, and it's so weird. It's weird. I can't look at you the same anymore.
It's a great party trick. I get up on kitchen counters.
I think I have to take my sweater off already. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you do the Van Damme splits with the two trucks and everything.
Mm-hmm. I think we were talking about that as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Newber, no wonder why you're throwing all your money away. Yeah. It's like,
so we will whore ourselves out. So now when people ask me
starting
to
with
do
Bobby.
It, because people always ask me to do it, and I'm like, well, the going rate's $300 now. That's
my gosh.
That's the last donation.
It's like, unless you have a wad where, you know, where it's, oh my gosh, I can't even.
Yeah, you're kind of mind-blown.
I don't know. I'm
right
just
now.
Seeing like dirty dollar bills and money on the floor, and Bobby like doing the splits and picking up the money in between his butt cheeks, and that's all I see right now. Ooh.
Yikes. Well, that's a visual. But let's talk about some games. Let's get into it. That's what the people are here for, not for me doing the splits.
Well, now they are.
Yeah. We're getting two crowds in here now. It's getting weird. So some games that caught our attention here this last week. I've got a couple up on here. I don't know if you guys had put any.
Yeah, I got some.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that?
Okay, on the radar. Yeah, Metro Exodus. We actually just learned about this while researching some hardware stuff. And that was actually announced early February, like February 8th, I think I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started playing Metro for the first time.
Which one? Metro 2033?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've only been like a couple hours into the game, but you guys are right. That game is awesome.
It's an amazing single-player game.
It holds up, too. I mean, that's an old game. 2033 is how old?
2010, I think we saw.
I played it on console.
I think Metro Last Light was 2010, but they have the Redux version, so they look a little better.
I thought Last Light... I'm playing the first one. Is that Last Light?
No. That's 2033.
Okay.
I haven't played that one. I played Last Light. Last Light's amazing. They're both great games, and they hold up. Like, you can play them now.
Yeah. So this is something I'm looking forward to now that I've like gotten a little bit into the world. Like, this new Metro, what's it called again? Exodus?
Yeah.
It's really good.
How far in the original game are you, and do you plan to beat it?
I can't say I plan to beat it because I say that too much, but I will continue to play it, definitely. And I just got to the market, I think it's called, like the first big city.
Oh, it was so long ago. It's hard to really recall anything, but this game is just so extraordinary, being that it's a futuristic, post-apocalyptic type of world, but it seems so real. And you really become who you are in the game. I don't really recall. And the extra combat things that you get in the game are just so much fun.
Yeah.
I hope you do beat it, because if I remember correctly, it was only 9 to 10 hours at most. Oh, yeah? And the story is what drives everything.
Okay,
about
I
think Metro.
I think I spent just short of 11 or 12 hours on Last Light. So yeah, for a first person shooter, that's a little on the long side.
It might be taking me a bit longer because I'm playing it on a really hard mode with this no heads up display. You don't
really
know how much ammo you have. So
it would. I'm not sure if I did the same thing, because generally when I play games, I try to optimize the challenge as much as possible.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned earlier, I've only played this game. I played this game on console, so I probably kept it at the regular difficulty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I know we're skipping a segment a little bit because Metro Exodus and Metro 2033 going forward into highlights for the games we played. But yeah, this game is really hard. Like, I think it, on this mode, it only takes me like two hits from a dark one to die, or not even a dark one, but like the dogs or whatever they are.
All right. Well, if you need to beat the game, just lower that difficulty and burn through it. Because when is Metro Exodus coming out?
2018 is all we know.
Yeah, they don't know.
Oh, that's a long ways away.
Yeah.
Okay.
That looks great. The graphics look great, and they're advertising some new technology from NVIDIA, ray tracing, which I think has to do with lighting.
Yeah, it's just more dynamic lighting, it looks like.
Yeah, and shadows.
Is it going to continue to be a single-player experience?
We really don't know anything. They just announced the game.
Well, I'm 99% sure it's going to be just single-player campaign.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It would do a lot of good to have co-op, but that might be asking for too much.
That's quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. This is actually, I'm very interested in when this comes out.
Yeah, speaking of story-driven games, though, have you guys played Telltale games? Are you guys into those?
I've
been a while.
Never made it further than an hour into a Telltale game, but I have attempted numerous.
Because they're announcing the release of the final season of Walking Dead.
And Clementine is supposed to be coming back. They were teasing it with that, and she's all grown up. You know what, though? I stopped caring about Walking Dead and Telltale Games like so many years ago.
I never really got into them, but I know they have like a huge following.
I got into the games. Like, they were good. I think my favorite was that Fairy Tale one. What was that?
Wolf Among Us?
Wolf Among Us. There you go.
Yes. Yeah.
That one was the best one.
Okay. And I did play the Game of Thrones one a little bit, probably the one I played the most. And for a Telltale game, you think it's mostly just a walking simulator. But if you up the difficulty, you can actually enjoy the challenge of clicking at an appropriate time and making the right decisions. So I found myself restarting quite a few times with Telltale games because I wanted a different outcome than what I was getting.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Those Telltale games, they hit it big with Walking Dead in 2012. Yeah. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. At least it felt like it. Everyone just all of a sudden paid attention to that game and paid attention to Telltale. But they'd been making games long before that, and their games were really bad. Some of them were.
Sam & Max and...
Well, no, Sam & Max, pretty they were good. Decent. Well, that was LucasArts. But I think Telltale... I don't know. I'm not talking about those ones, though. Those ones might have been good. For me, you know, some people have disagreed with me on this. The Jurassic Park game was awful. The story was decent, but the mechanics of the game were terrible. The Back to the Future one, I tried really hard to like it, and I still kind of enjoyed it, but that one was not very good.
I tried that one a bit. Yeah,
Back to the Future one. Yeah. It was on sale not too long ago. It kind of still holds up. Like, it's Back to the Future. Of course I'm going to like it.
I never knew that game existed. What did you do in that game?
You played as Marty McFly? And you go back in time, but to like different timelines than was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was it one of those consequential type of games where you make decisions and it changes up what happens next? Or is it just more of a basic?
The narrative was a little strict. I mean, you pretty much had to follow along with everything. And there was some decision making and puzzle solving mostly.
The puzzle solving was kind of like go find something.
Yeah,
that's
a fetch
quest. That's not a puzzle.
Well, the problem, I mean, that one was, the story was pretty decent. I liked one of the episodes in particular. But the problem with the Jurassic Park one, that was so bad. The entire game was just button mashing. Just like, smash this button at this point in time. Oh, what a quick time events. Yeah, that's almost all that game was. Which is a shame, too, because they had a good story going on there. Like, they had a few good things happening, but it was just ruined by that.
There was one game that did quick time events flawlessly, and have you ever played Shenmue? Was great, but Shenmue also had other elements going to it. Heavy Rain was all QuickTime events. Have you heard of Heavy Rain? It's a console exclusive, but it recently was re-released for PC, I believe. I'm not 100. I could be just lying through my teeth. I don't know what alcohol does to me. But anyways,
I don't know if I've ever seen a good QuickTime event, though. Like,
one of the few games where QuickTime events work out flawlessly with the...
Well, those are more prominent on consoles, too, I think. Because nobody wants to beat the shit out of their keyboard. Like, I hate QuickTime events. I feel like I'm, like, rattling the keys.
You think they would? Because I feel like all of my roommates, and anyone that's lived with me, half of what they remember or can recall about living with me is how loud my keyboard bashing is. Not even on purpose. It's just that I'm very aggressive with my keyboard. Hmm. And, can we click on that? It looks like Cricket Soldier did us the kindness of clipping what I would hope is Bobby doing the splits.
Well, let's take a look. Watch this be something.
I don't know if I can watch this, Bobby. Is this it? Minnie, you were there?
This is it, yeah.
Where was Emilio? He was holding the camera. What the heck? Oh my gosh, yeah. Bobby.
Long split.
When did you learn to do the splits?
You don't really learn to do the splits. I mean, you got to practice a little bit, but
you kind of do or don't.
I think it's robotically genetic that it's possible. He doesn't have muscles. It's just all hard work. It's all ligament and joint.
A candid look at our studio too, because we had to move that camera around.
Wow. The dirty ass.
Did you see? So you just rubbed like your balls all over the mystery stains of our studio.
Yeah, who knows what's in that carpet? It's a good thing you can't see the carpet on the camera. It's like that's how nightclubs are. Like, have you ever been to a nightclub during the daytime? Yeah, they are fucking disgusting.
I don't think so.
Oh my god!
Why would you want to be in a nightclub?
I can't remember the circumstances.
Are there any day clubs out there? What's a day club?
Yeah, like Rehab or what do they call it? Not rehab, but no, in Vegas they call it rehab.
Oh, there's a nightclub called club called it's Rehab.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like Sunday afternoon after everyone's been partying. It's like a fancy brunch, except people are getting liquored up and hanging around the pool and, you know, looking good.
Dance floor?
Probably not.
Hmm.
Yeah. What's the one that out here? Emilio would know. He's got some funny stories. He dressed up in a banana suit and went to
That one?
Yeah.
I feel like Rooftop.
No, that's the famous one in Vegas. I don't know if they still do that anymore.
Okay. Rooftop parties are more like
Intervention
day clubs.
Is what they call it out here. Intervention. Interesting. Yeah. They got funny names for that shit.
Wow, Rehab and Intervention.
Right.
No. It's like, why are you clubbing during the day?
So some games that caught my eye this week, first of all, Pixar, and I think this is possibly because it was so heavily promoted. This kept on showing up in front of my front page here.
Pixar, not Pixar.
Yeah. Pixar.
So like Arc merging with Pixel.
Yeah. They like stole Minecraft? The Arc logo. And yet I don't think it's the same developer, publisher, any related, but they totally borrow from it. Like it's, let me just read it here. Enter a world of mystery, danger, ancient dinosaurs. So, you know, I'm interested. Mythical beasts and cubist work by yourself. Someone else explained it better. I thought that was the description I was reading. It's basically Minecraft mixed with Ark, mixed with a couple other, I don't know, games of that type. So I don't know. Yeah. The reviews are mixed, so there's probably some issue with it. Yeah. It's in early access, so I'm assuming it's just a matter of it not being finished, but a lot of people are playing it.
It is gorgeous.
It looks good. Yeah.
For a blocky definitely game. A upgraded Minecraft. There's a lot more color, a lot more definition to your character.
Yeah, the lighting. I mean, the lighting is
really good.
If you guys have played Ark doesn't really look that good either.
Ark looks terrible.
Well, it looks better than Rust.
Rust is pretty bad looking as well.
Yeah, most of those survivor games don't generally have the best graphics and or animations, in my opinion. But this is a beautiful looking game.
Yeah, you know, the Lego World one I almost jumped on, but the reviews were poor on that as well. And I have a tough time with these games, so I don't know. They look fun, but then I shortly realized I have to spend hours and hours to get anywhere with it. So
that's not my thing. I don't like open world and I don't like hunting for materials.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
I played. Okay. So I was on vacation last week. I didn't get to play much video games, but I did play some, mostly via console because that was the only device available to me. And Minecraft was one of them. My little nephew is 10 years old. And I got to play Minecraft with him, and I played a little bit of Fortnite on console. I introduced him to Fortnite. So more about that later, or nothing about that
Fortnite.
At all. I played Fortnite, and I wasn't sold in it. Sorry, guys. And just because I was using a controller, I'm not interested in playing. I like PUBG. I think PUBG is a very quality game. If I'm not interested in even playing PUBG anymore, then Fortnite has absolutely no appeal to me other than keeping up with the mainstream audience, keeping up with maybe other friends that are playing the game. But right now I would say I'm pretty antisocial with my gaming.
Okay. Well, we do have some news for you then about Fortnite, PUBG, if you are looking to get back into it.
Oh, they released the smaller maps.
Okay, yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm not interested in playing PUBG yet. Okay. We'll see. We shall see. Right. But the reason why I brought that up is because this looks a lot like Minecraft, and I got back into playing Minecraft with my nephew, and that was a lot of fun.
Back into it? So you have a history with this game?
Not a strong history, but I have played it before with friends.
You've experimented.
Shortly after Left 4 Dead 2 was dying out, I experimented a little with Minecraft, yes. It was a lot of fun because it was just free roaming, trying to build a home, but then getting distracted by 50 million other things and never really getting anywhere in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny how Minecraft is just such a divider between age groups because it's such a different style. It's when games became this thing that you just hang out in and like older gamers just didn't understand it. And they're like, but what do you do? Like that was always the big question. This will all come into play a little later when I talk about Sea of Thieves. But the last game I wanted to mention that caught my eye this week was Jurassic World Evolution, which we've mentioned before, but they now have a release date. June 12th is the day that this is coming out. So this is the sim game where you build a park full of dinosaurs and you manage that. And maybe, I don't know if they break loose or shit goes down because that's part of Jurassic
Park. So it's like Dinosaur Tycoon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that would have been a much better
larger
name.
Scale, much more realistic. It looks like you're even building moats and or lakes and fences. You're building your park.
You're landscaping. You got the little ball things. Up. This is the new Jurassic Park. It looks like they got the tram. Yeah, I don't know. I love these types of games. I like dinosaurs. Is Chris Pratt in
I'll
here?
Play it if Chris Pratt is in it.
That'd be hilarious if he did like a voiceover or something.
I am like, terrible at sim games.
The new Ryan awesome. Reynolds or Ryan Goslings of our, I feel like, or the people that are stepping up, it's going to be Chris Pratt and or, of course, Dwayne Johnson right now. They're taking that spotlight from away from the Ryans. So, I know that totally off topic. But no, this game looks beautiful.
It does look awesome. Definitely looks awesome.
Well, it looks good, but these are all close-up shots. And if it's a sim game, you're going to be zoomed way the hell out. You know?
It did have a few of the building at the beginning of this clip. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, yeah, it's really, that's not showing much of the freedom you have of building yet.
Yeah. Well, it's got a price tag, $55 if you pre-purchase.
Sounds about right.
Deluxe edition is $5 more, $60. That's an unusual
that
pricing
is
structure.
Strange.
For what comes the way deluxe? I see that, you get the deluxe edition for the regular price, and if you really want to save $5, buy the standard edition. Yeah. I don't understand that. I don't understand it.
So this is being developed by Frontier Developments, and they have under their belt, let's see, Planet Coaster, Lost Winds, Lost Winds 2, Elite Dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of other sim games.
What was the last dinosaur sim game that you played, Bobby?
That's oddly specific. Dinosaur sim game? I don't know if I've ever played a dinosaur simulation game.
Not Dinosaur Tycoon?
Or no. Is that
it
a
might
real
not
game?
Even be called Dinosaur Tycoon, but I recall...
I feel like that's some cheap knockoff game, like Dinosaur Tycoon.
I don't remember the name of it. I doubt it's on Steam, but Dinosaur Tycoon was one of the first games I ever played in school. In school, they were giving me games to play, such as Oregon Trail... Number Munchers. Do you remember Munchers? And Dinosaur Tycoon was one of them. I remember breeding. Yes, Dino Park Tycoon. There it is. Okay. I remember building my own park, breeding dinosaurs. And this was introduced to me on those fatback Mac computers where the computer was in the monitor and they had all these different pretty colors. Those Skittle Macs.
The only dinosaur sim game ever.
Probably.
No, there was one for Sega Genesis. Oh, yeah? I can't remember what it was called.
Oh. Well, it was so much fun. If this is like if this new Jurassic Park game is the current generation version of Dino Park Tycoon, it would be amazing. You've never played this, Bobby?
No.
You don't own this in your Steam library?
Apparently not.
I'm shocked.
Dino Park Tycoon.
You've never played this.
It's like a great game.
It actually
is. It looks like a terrible
game. This looks like a Frogware game. Who made this? Oh, it's on my Abandonware, so you can just get it for free.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got Mech, M-E-C-C. You remember that shit?
Like
back in the day, yeah, they made a ton of those games.
Oh, Minnesota Educational Computing Consortium. That's what MEC stands for.
They
by
the
way,
the
guys, you guys were fed false truths about where I was last week. I was not in Michigan.
It was some cold state, we thought you were back
the
home.
The cold state I'm from is actually Minnesota.
Same thing, right?
The people behind Dino Park Tycoon. And I was actually in Miami. So the complete opposite
of
cold.
I said
Miami. Bobby's in Miami. That's where I was. That's where my sister lives. And my little nephew and my new baby niece that I met too. So
how far is Michigan from Minnesota? Do you know?
I don't know anything about Michigan. I'm Michigan from Minnesota. Yeah. A couple of states.
Oh, okay.
It's not that far. It's attached to a Great Lake. So
all right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I would hope.
Pretty much the same climate though, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we are playing or have played this week.
You know, something that I didn't put on the list, Barbershop Simulator, I think it's called.
This is a game that you have played?
Yeah, I played it and it was...
Were you giving people sharp fades? What was happening? Were you learning how to manage your own freaking uncontrollable hair? Which actually looks very Kent Clark today, by the way.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've ever seen your hair done nicely.
This is actually when I don't do anything to it. My hair does this.
Did you bike here?
Yeah.
You're lying. What did you do? Did something. It actually looks nice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Is this game on Steam? I'm not funny.
It's not on Steam. Okay. It is free. You can just find it on their site. I don't remember what the site is, but Barbershop Tycoon. Basically, it's just
Tycoon or Simulator?
Simulator.
Actually. Okay.
Sorry. You're just shaving, really. You're just shaving beards into different beard shapes. It's really crappy game. And I probably played it for like 15 minutes and pretty much got the entire gist of it.
Yeah.
You play it, you get money, you can buy different razors, buy different shaving things.
Can you cut their face?
You only cut their face. So this barbershop is kind of misleading because it's only beard trimming and mustache trimming.
No, I mean, can you like dig a blade into their skin?
Oh, no, you can't cut them.
All right.
But you can get like a...
Probably sound like a serial killer.
Negative damage or negative money for like cutting their eye or their ear or something.
Oh, my
God. But
goodness.
It doesn't actually show any physical
the
damage.
The very obvious...
Yeah. You can't... Wow. Yeah.
Misplacements.
So this right here is pretty much the entire game. That right, what you're seeing in that 5 second clip. Mm-hmm. It's just shaving.
Why is a grown man playing this game? What type of fetishes do you possess?
I don't even like shaving in real life.
I don't understand this.
And somebody in our Discord told us to play it. I'm sorry, I don't remember
your name. That's how you discovered it. Okay.
And I was like, I'll give it a try. And yeah, it took me about 10 minutes before I was like, okay, that's enough of this.
So you lightly stroked your mouse up and down.
This looks like a VR game.
This gentleman, the closest.
It does, but I don't think it has VR support because it's very, very low budget.
What was your favorite beard to shave?
It was actually kind of like the one if you just did with
like a goatee.
I got like a goatee with the
gross
patch.
Okay, did you lather up and then lotion his face afterwards?
Like I said, it's really just shave. There is no lotion, lather, or anything like that.
So you can't just like. You have to shave the whole face, or can you make like little designs?
See, at the bottom right, it shows you what you're trying to go for.
Okay, I see.
And that's the look you're going for. Like, he wants it kind of stubbly at the bottom. So, kind of trying to make it stubbly at the bottom.
So, were you good at giving him what he wanted?
I was pretty terrible.
Oh.
I don't treat the men the way they like to be treated.
Or maybe that's how they like it.
Maybe that's why they keep coming back.
Either way, it's a nice zoom up of their luscious lips and beardy beards.
Oh, man.
And you can get the D in this game, apparently. You get graded.
Well, I got D's all the time.
Yes.
I got a lot of D's.
Yikes.
Bobby, could you see yourself playing this game?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't even like shaving in real life. I found this barbershop.
How often do you shave?
Like once a week, twice a week.
I do the same.
Yeah. But I found this barbershop by my parents' house, and it's all Chaldeans. They barely speak any English, but they are amazing with shaving and doing the eyebrows and stuff like that. It hurts like hell. Like they take the wires, the threading. They do that. Ouch.
I've done that once.
This guy will give me like, it's the most amazing thing. Like, and it lasts for a little while until my hair grows back out. But every now and then I'll go down there. And it's the funniest thing because I walk in, no white people in there at all. It's all Chaldeans. And the one dude who like knows me, like he'll nod to me and I'll come over and like, he'll say stuff and I have no idea what this guy's saying. I'll like,
does
try
he
to
call you Robert or Bobby?
I don't think he knows my name and I don't know his name. Yeah.
Wolverine.
It's a very interesting interaction when I go in there, but they do amazing work. Like they
don't touch the sideburns. The sideburns.
No, they
stay.
Do the sideburns. Like he'll cut my hair, but I actually go in there just for the sideburns.
Okay, because...
Yeah, because it's amazing what they do with razors and, like, the shaving and the... I don't know. I wish I had a picture, but I'm probably overselling it. And I can't even remember the name of the place, too. Can't give them a free plug, but yeah. But yeah, some games that I have been playing. So my mission this week, or last week that I had off, I wanted to finish a few games. Those games were Far Cry 4, Prey, and Soma. And I only finished two of those.
Please tell me Soma.
Soma was the one I did not finish.
Bobby!
I finished Far Cry 4. I was right near the end of it. Nothing really to say about that. There was that big sale going on, and I wanted to get Far Cry Primal. And I was like, you know what? You got to finish 4 before you move on to a next one. So I finished 4, and I was like, I don't even really feel like doing more Far Cry right now. So then I finished up Prey. Been meaning to do that forever.
That's an older title, or is it the recent
The Prey? 2017.
Prey 2.0?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a really tough game to get back into. Really hard to get back into. I mean, I didn't know what was going on with the story. I didn't remember where I was at, like all this shit. And
you didn't
finally
just restart like I do? That's how I never beat games.
I was like 80% of the way through the game. I was not restarting.
Okay.
Yeah. But I fumbled my way through it. I ended up getting through the game, and the ending was really good. I really liked what they did with the ending, the way they went with it. And I wish I would have played it all in one go, like a week or two, rather than like 80% of the game and then like almost a year later play the rest of it. That's a horrible way to play a game like this, mm-hmm. but it's a solid game. I compare it. It's like a modern day Half-Life to me. I'll get it that amount of credibility.
That so, much?
Oh yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I think if we all went back and played Half-Life, we'd kind of realize how good for the time it was. But by today's standards, like, it doesn't really hold up. But this game absolutely does. Highly recommend it. It's actually, I compare it more to, like, System Shock. It's really got those RPG elements.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Leans more on the RPG side and less on the first-person shooter.
I think those games are a lot of fun if you go back and play them co-op. I'm not sure if System Shock has always had co-op abilities, but I was playing it with other people.
Didn't originally. You're not talking about BioShock, are you?
No, System Shock, where you're running around and there's ghosts everywhere and those like acid-throwing monkeys.
I must have
played some type of modification because even Half-Life has it. Have you ever heard of Synergy on Steam?
Half-Life has a bunch of mods.
Yeah, well, Synergy allows you to play I'm not sure about Half-Life 1, but Half-Life 2 co-op, 100%, three and three, the game. It's really cool. Yeah. It just reloads every section of the game, like a new map with another player, and you're either the main character or a supporting character, and you can beat the whole game with a co-op.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a lot of fun. So all you have to do is look up Synergy on Steam. That is like my word of the year, Synergy. Anyway.
Well, Black Mesa was a great idea in that game. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed, but I don't think if they finished all the levels at the end. It ends, at least the last time I played it, maybe about a year ago, it ends at the Zen level, or right when you get to Zen.
Exactly. Yeah, last time I saw it.
But that was a great reincarnation of the Half-Life. Like, I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
That was made with Source Engine?
Yeah, I think so. They redid the whole game on Source. That was the idea behind that. But yeah, so I beat Far Cry 4, beat Prey, and then when I finished Prey, it's a futuristic sci-fi kind of thriller game, a little on the scary side, and that's kind of what Soma is. Although the two games are very different in their ways, I just didn't feel in the mood for Soma. So
Soma is just one of the best storytelling games.
Yeah, but again, I played maybe
and it hurts me that you did not beat it.
Yeah, I will. It's on the list.
One of these days.
I'll get to it. So instead, I started playing Trine 3. I'm like, this is a completely different game. I can't believe I never beat it because I love Trine 1 and 2.
2 was really good.
Mm-hmm. I really liked 2. A lot of people were like, one was better. But Trine 3 is where they went 3D with it.
You were on spring break all of last week. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. How many hours per day would you spend playing video games, Bobby?
As many as I could.
Nice.
As many as I possibly could.
Did you see your girlfriend that week?
Oh, yeah. We did a bunch of stuff. It was great. When I'm on vacation, I'm such a happier person. Like, I feel like I always wonder when I'm on vacation, I'm like, is this how people just feel normally? Like, happy? Like, not like you're just constantly choking on life? Yeah. So it was a great week, and it's all over. I'm back to work, and I have way too much shit to do again.
Yeah.
But Trine 3, I didn't beat this, but I am close to it. The reviews on this when it came out were very
negative. I saw that.
Very negative.
When it first came out, and I was looking at buying it when it first came out, like, man, the reviews are just terrible.
Yeah. It was early access. Newberg, get the fuck out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, guys.
We don't even know what to do with this money, Newberg.
What we do, actually, I forgot to mention it, but we found some new hardware. And
do I need to do the splits now? Newberg just donated $250, and he just broke officially $1,000.
Is that $1,000?
$1,000 in donation money. Newbert 13. We're going to do something very special for you, mate. I promise you that. It's not me doing the splits because I can't. I am no Bobby.
If you stretch and you work up to it, then I think you can come in here next week.
Are you going
to
train me, Bobby? Are you going to train me? I could barely feel the back of my legs. I've been hitting the gym again.
Okay.
And no, I don't think I've ever, even when I was at my most athletic, my peak, athletic peak, no splits ever.
It might be the rum talking, but I'm going to train into doing the splits and see how far I can get.
You just got to stretch it out and you'll become a lot limber.
You know what we
quickly.
Should do? We should just make a pyramid. And Amelia has to be on the bottom because if Amelia were on top of that pyramid right now, he would be like shitting and pissing and puking all over us.
Well, he could be the spout on the fountain.
What?
The spout on the fountain.
The spout on the fountain, yeah. Emilio? Yeah. Gross. Emilio fondue, everyone.
Oh my goodness.
Come and get it.
I don't like this at all.
Ew.
Oh my God.
So
it's pretty good, huh?
Trying three. Trying three artifacts of power.
Emilio fondue. Gross.
And now we can never eat fondue again. Like, who's going to have fondue after that?
All right.
Okay. What the fuck was I talking about?
Trying three. Beating
trying three.
Why do you think the reviews were so mixed on this?
So it came out in early access. The game was very short, and I don't think it even had an ending when they first released it. So people were very upset about that. This game, they take chances on it, which I like. So the first Trine games are side scrollers, even though they're kind of 2.5D. Like they're made with the Frozen Byte engine.
Frostbite?
Frostbite engine, which is what they make some really high-end like third-person or first-person shooters on. You know, yeah. It's a great-looking engine. This game, by the way, the Trine series, I don't know about 3, but 1 and 2 are another one of those games that works very well with NVIDIA 3D Vision. We talked about that last week with Last Light, but who has 3D Vision anymore? But this one, they go for the 3D. They add the Z-axis to it.
Okay.
Axis to it. So you can't, it's not just a side scroller anymore. You can move up and down, kind of like a brawler beat 'em up. And there's a lot more.
The same three characters?
Yeah, same three characters. Zoya, Pontius, and I can't remember the wizard. Amadeus is the wizard.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't played it, there's a shield armor knight and an archer and the wizard.
Yeah, and they're
but
funny characters.
It's a single-player game, isn't it?
You can play multiplayer. Yeah. In fact, Trine 2...
I've never played Trine, by the way, but it does look a lot like Gauntlet Legends with platforming.
It's mostly platforming.
It's all, yeah. It's very little combat. You switch between the three characters. When there's combat, you bust out the knight. But for the most part, it's puzzle solving. And Trine 2, I think, is one of the few games Emilio and I have beat, like, together, just all the way through. Just played it beginning to end. And that was a lot of fun. So these are great multiplayer games. They're a little more demanding. So I don't know if you could play this with, say,
is it
like
split screen, or do you have to have
you're on the same screen.
Accounts?
Maybe
same screen.
You can't play with children, you think?
Yeah, with children or someone who's not really good at gaming, like it might be a little more difficult than like your typical platformer games. Mm-hmm. But the Trine's a great series, and I'm really enjoying 3. I mean, it is on the short side. I'm about 6 hours into it, and I'm pretty close to beating it, but I don't know. I'm happy with it. It's not expensive, I think.
You know, the really cool mechanic about this game, or bucks. About Trine 2 when I played it, because I played it with two other friends who are also like hardcore gamers, and it's like every character has like a unique ability.
Saintly?
No. Oh. Before I even met Saintly, actually. every character has a unique ability. And Trine 2, the wizard, he could like create magical or objects like like a plank or a giant cube for someone to step onto. Mm-hmm. The archer, she had like a grappling hook that she can get to special areas. And then the shield knight, he could like hold up his shield. You could jump on the shield and you could do a double jump with him. So every character had like their own special ability. And some of the puzzles were a lot easier if you had like all three characters at one time trying to solve the puzzle with their abilities.
So it's just getting through it much quicker.
Exactly.
You know what game that has never made it to PC, but I think a lot of different PC gamers would appreciate based on what you just spieled? Pikmin. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, for the GameCube.
Yeah, Pikmin for the GameCube is one of my favorite games of all time because what you do is you can...
Pikmin? P-I-C?
P-I-K-M-I-N.
Yeah.
Pikmin.
Like little Not plant man, buddies. Pikmin.
Yeah, basically you're this little itty bitty astronaut that crash lands on Earth, I believe. And you're so tiny. Your name is Oscar. And you are so tiny, a little baby Oscar. Oh, Olimar. Sorry, Olimar. That's his name, not Oscar. Close enough, right? Am I right? Yeah. Oscar Olimar. And you go around and you pick these little Pikmin, which are like plants, and different Pikmin are different colors and they have different abilities. And the purpose of the game is to collect different pieces of your ship to make it out alive. And... you have
holy
to, and
Jesus,
there are different
these text scrolls. What is?
Oh, it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think this is one of those puzzle games where it's challenging, but also a lot of fun. You can play with other people. I believe
it's kind of like Overlord. Did you play Overlord?
Oh, I've heard of Overlord, but I've never played.
Very
it.
Similar. Like instead of like little cube buddies, you have like little demon gremlins that you you try to spawn in. They do like different biddings, like fire gremlins, earth gremlins. They do different things. Mm-hmm. But same thing as Pikmin, really.
But yeah, that's me just referencing the console world once again. I'll get so back into PC gaming soon, guys. There was not that much text. Trust
it was like eight paragraphs.
Yeah, well, that was just the beginning. That was just the tutorial. You know how games just bring you... You got to know the story. Otherwise, how else would you understand your purpose? Yeah. Right?
I suppose. There's better ways of doing it, though. That looks like an old game. Pikmin, that must have been...
It was.
A while ago.
Original launch GameCube, I believe.
Wow. All right, well, that was pretty much it for me. Let's see, did I play anything else? Oh, yeah, I saved it till the end, but I put it at the beginning. Sea of Thieves. Yeah, so I played Sea of Thieves. I got the Xbox Pass, which is free for 2 weeks when you get it. So it's $10 a month, and you get access to all these games. Now, this is really marketed towards console players, mm-hmm. and it seems like a great deal. It's got a ton of titles, and every new release they guarantee is going to be on this pass as well. So basically, it's like the Netflix of gaming. For $10 a month, you get access to all of these, and you can get it for PC as well, but I don't see a lot of PC gamers going for this. Anyway, 2 week trial. It's free.
Good old Gamefly, right?
Oh, yeah, man, Gamefly.
Or what's the other one Origin does? The Access Pass.
Vault mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah, the Origin Vault. That's $30 a year. I mean, the selection is a little more limited on that. Still some really great games there, but a little more limited. Like, there were a ton of games in this Xbox Pass. But anyway.
Windows 10 only.
Windows 10. 2 weeks free. I checked out Sea of Thieves, and I played a good amount of it, hours and hours. I think I played it three times, and each time I spent a couple of hours playing it.
Did you play with anyone or just kind of?
Mm-hmm. So okay. The first two times I played with strangers, and they were actually very helpful. They have voice chat in the game, or you can communicate through actions, but they were all there. They weren't dicking around. They're all right. Let's go on the missions. Let's do the quests and the voyage. And every time I did that, it was all pretty vanilla. Like, it was just, we went out, we got some shit, we brought it back, we got the money.
Was there no
boring.
Contest in terms of PvP? While you were doing
not
all of
the
this?
First couple times I played, it wasn't until I joined up with Mayo. We got together and he kind of showed me a few things too. Like, apparently you can shoot yourself out of cannons, which is fun. But when we did that, we were running into all sorts of other players, and then we went to do a mission somewhere and there were other people there. And then we got on the island to go do the mission. And then some people ran off with our ship, and then we got into a fight somewhere else. And that part was exciting.
What are the benefits to PvP? Or downfalls to dying in Sea of Thieves?
Well, nothing really. You just have to wait to respawn. I think you used to lose gold, but they changed it. But now I should probably bring up Sea of Thieves.
Do you have to run back to your body, like in World of Warcraft, where you spawn at the graveyard?
You go to a ghost ship and you just wait.
Yeah, what I've seen in streams is you like go into a ghost ship and then you have to wait for a door to open. And then once the door opens, you go through the portal and then you spawn.
Yeah.
No penalty to dying, eh?
Well, what happens if you die, you have to wait it out, and the person who killed you is probably taking all your shit or blowing up your ship.
Oh, okay, you can lose inventory, or...
Yeah, you lose the treasure that you went out and got.
Oh, okay. So there's a contest for...
Mm-hmm. It's all about getting treasure. You get the treasure, you take it in, and then you can buy more cosmetics, and that's pretty much it. It's only cosmetics that you get. Now, I will say, this is...
Don't underestimate the power of cosmetics.
Yeah,
that's actually the number one selling thing.
There were some things I wanted. Like, I wanted some of the sails and the little thing you put at the front of your boat, and the eye patches were cool, and you can get a hook hand, and I wanted that. But I don't know. Like, on paper, this game did not sound good to me. I was very skeptical going into it, and even now I'm still, like, not super impressed. But at the same time, there was a very enjoyable part of it, and that was just hanging out with people, being out in the ocean, not knowing what's going to happen, just being in this really good looking environment, because it looks amazing. The water does look amazing. I know someone pointed that out last week.
On paper, how would you describe it? A pirate island?
I compare it to DayZ of all things.
Oh, it's like, really? DayZ?
Yeah, it's like DayZ. It's like a game that you just go out and you do stuff and you hang out and you don't know what's going to happen.
Scenarios,
yeah.
Really. I
like,
remember
they drop
when
you
I
in, there's no tutorial, there's no story. You're just there.
When I played DayZ, funny story. When I played DayZ and when I first started streaming, my only mission in that game was to go out, find a pair of handcuffs, rotten bananas, and handcuff somebody, force feed them bananas until they died of poison. That was my mission in that game. And I would call it, and it was my signature move, as I would say.
Oh my God.
And I called it the ham banana, because if you guys are Aqua Teen Hunger Force fans, we all know and love the ham banana. But so that's really cool. But
well, I don't think you can do that to anyone in this world, game.
So you can't really torture anybody else. You just kill them.
Yeah, you just kill
them. You can't trap them. Even in Fortnite, you can trap people.
If you're on a ship, so one of the times I was playing, I was on a ship with three other people. It can be solo, two, three, or four people that you're on a ship with. And the ships vary in size. You can have small up to very large ships. And we were on a ship, three of us. One guy was just screwing around and just refused to fall in line. No, but you can vote to lock him in the brig. So I did that pretty early on. And then eventually the other guy did too. And then he sits down on the bottom deck. He's just in his little cage there. And I guess he got rewards for the quest, but he just had to sit there and do nothing. So
he could just AFK?
I guess, yeah.
And play the game? Mm-hmm. I would just vote myself into the brig and walk away and wash my dishes. Yeah. If you guys have ever been on Discord with me, 50% of the time I will walk away to wash my dishes.
What was really fun when Mayo and I were playing, we had to start to develop some strategies, kind of like you do in DayZ. Like, we had that whole incident where we went on the island to do the quest. We saw some other ship, didn't think anything of it, and we kind of chased some dude. And then he just hopped on our ship and went away. And I was like, oh, fuck, well, we can't do that again. So then I was like, all right, this next one, you stay on the boat. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the quest. And if there's trouble, you let me know and I'll come back. And then after a while, it seemed like the coast was clear, so we both got off the ship. But you have to kind of adjust. It's an open world experience.
Oh, this dude has a banana. He's eating it right now.
Yeah, well, you eat bananas to get
ham bananas
back.
Oh yeah. So bananas are in this game.
There are bananas.
Thank you for telling me that when I had my whole banana story.
You can't feed them to anyone else, but you can't eat them,
and they're all fresh apparently.
There's a lot. Okay, so this reminds me, he's holding up that paper with some clues on it. This is a puzzle game too. So you go out to find these treasures and they have little riddles and you got to figure those out. Then you go on the island and you look for like what they're talking about, like a boar painting that's over here. And then it's like six steps north by northwest from there. So it's a puzzle game.
I bet you can Google it though.
Yeah, you could, but there's a ton of these missions. That's why there's a little bit of controversy with the person who got the first, whatever the highest honor you can get in this game is. I can't remember.
How do you
Pirate
get that?
Legend.
Okay.
You have to do like all these quests, but apparently it's this big Twitch streamer and he was just asking his stream like, oh, what do I do here? And they would just tell him and then he'd run out and do it. So some people are a little upset about him getting that title. And apparently it opens up another part of the map. There's a lot to this game. My biggest issue with it is that it's $60 and that it's on Microsoft Store. So of course, it's like hefty. Every single other game. Well, the one other game that I've got through Microsoft Store, I had an issue installing it. Like, I don't know what it is about Microsoft Store that just never works, but there's always issues installing games through it. But $60 and you have to go through Microsoft, which I don't know, I guess isn't a real big hassle, but
the game looks like a lot of fun. It seems like something right up my alley when it comes to social PvP, and the graphics are, I would say, on par with Fable, a little bit more cartoony.
Yeah, they look a lot like
They're very cartoony, but they're very good. And everything feels like, even the combat feels good. Like, you feel like, you never feel cheated when you swing a melee sword at somebody or if you shoot them, like, and the hitbox is all weird. You don't feel cheated. So, yeah,
That's cool. Do you see them coming out with a battle royale?
I would love for them to come out with some more content for this game. Like,
I think
more.
I
would like to see bigger ships, more larger groups, and I would like to see more rewards for the quests that you do. Like, you get access to this new area now, and things become much harder because a lot of these initial quests are just boring because they're so easy. They're just,
That's disappointing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd like to see a little more challenge somewhere in it. But yeah, I could see people having fun playing this together, and maybe at some point if it ever goes on sale, I'll pick it up.
You mentioned that a lot of the rewards are cosmetic or almost strictly cosmetic.
Yeah.
What about weapons? How do you have any type of leverage over other players when you're playing this game?
I don't think you do.
Really?
I don't think there's any new weapons you can get. You can go to the armory and you can trade out your pistol for like a sniper rifle or a shotgun, basically, but blunderbuss and whatever they call the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's really any advantage you can get.
So all the weapons are at the same threshold of power?
Yeah, there's like level weapons, no advantage you can get in combat, really.
So combat, from what you're telling me, it's flawless, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of advantages. Or
yeah, you're not
going to
run into a guy who's been playing this game for like 5 straight months and has all this huge advantage over you. Like, that's not going to happen. I mean, you'll run across that dude and he's going to have a fancy pirate ship with a parrot on his shoulder and a hook hand and like all this other cool shit, but he's not going to have any actual advantage over you in the game. And okay. I think it's designed that way. That might be a good idea. This game really, I don't think they push you towards the PvP. It's more, I don't know. They don't push you towards anything. They just throw you out there and you create your own story. You do what you want to do.
Oh, right. That's kind of neat. And you have to earn your cosmetic awards. You can't just like pay to win.
Yeah, I like that. You can't just buy cosmetics.
Yeah.
That's neat. So if you see a guy with some fancy stuff, you're like, damn, that guy worked for it.
He earned it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a fun game. I have until April 11th that I'm going to be, or that until my Game Pass expires. I'll probably play it again. I know a bunch of people on the Discord server are playing it, and I'd love to hop in. I'd love to do a 4-man crew with everyone on comms. Like, I think that would be fun because you could get real interesting with that.
If you play this game toxic in any sense? Is there all talk or proximity talk or anything like that? Are you able to talk to the enemy or just to your squad?
I don't think so. I think just your group. Grouping's kind of a pain in the ass, though, because you got to go through the Xbox app on your computer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't even know.
What?
The Xbox app?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't think I've ever used it.
Well, you should at least, if you have Windows 10, you should at least go on there and make sure that you don't have the overlay turned on or like the recording software turned on, because that's been known to cause problems with games. Yeah. So, yeah, I want to get a full 4-man crew and get more into this game. But I don't think, until it goes on sale, I don't think I'll pick it up permanently. All right, what have you guys been playing? I've been talking a while.
I played Deathmatch Classic, the old Steam game.
Team Fortress?
No, just Deathmatch Classic. It's old Steam game that came out around the time those other games came out. And this is basically like Quake, but bad. Because it actually like rips off Quake guns, like the nail gun, the rocket launcher, and the lightning gun. But what was going on is Reddit was having a little meetup, and like the highest this game ever, like the most players this game ever had, was something like in the double digits, like maybe 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, I've never heard of Deathmatch Classic, to be honest.
Well, Deathmatch was a mode in Half-Life, right? And Half-Life 2.
Oh.
Yeah, so this isn't that, but this is actually just Deathmatch Classic. I had this game when I bought like the whole Valve bundle when you get like Half-Life 1 and all those other like Blue Shifts and Opposing Force. So I had this in it and in my library, and I just went for it and started playing it. And it's a bad port. Like it's not a very good game. It's Deathmatch, but there was like so many people playing that the maps couldn't handle the amount of players. So we had like 20 people playing on a map that maybe you should hold 8. And we broke the record for all-time players, so that was cool. It was, I think we hit like 650 players. It was just cool to just increase the max number ever.
It was game. You were having fun breaking the game.
No, the game wasn't broken. It was just too many people. Like the game, the server could handle
it, wasn't
it, but the
meant,
map couldn't.
Oh, it wasn't really meant to have that many people. So you would just spawn and die or spawn kill.
Now, the big problem about the spawning was there was only a certain amount of spawn points. So you would spawn and somebody would spawn on you and they would frag you because it's pretty much a teleportation spawn or teleportation frag.
What do they call that? Is that what it was called?
So you're telling me they did the splits on your head and then they just exploded and died.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's really nothing much to say. This is a dead game. Don't play it, but it was fun for that 120 minutes that I played it.
The maps almost look on the equivalent of what I'd see if I loaded up GoldenEye more time.
It's like a Quake 1 and Quake 2 maps. Maybe. Okay. Like they're pretty much one for ones with that.
So 2001. Okay. Wow.
Way back.
Yeah, there was a whole pack in the orange box. There was like a couple of games in there that nobody knew what they were or really cared, like Ricochet.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, did you hear the joke?
The very first bundle trash, if you will.
When Lord Gaiman announced that he was making games again, somebody made a joke and said, okay, incoming Ricochet 2.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was pretty funny. But no, and since I missed last week's episode, I listened to it while I was on the plane. It was a long flight. So one of the listener questions I recall was, what was your first activated game on Steam? Mm-hmm. And my response is kind of similar to Bobby's. In 2003, in order to play Counter-Strike 1.6, I had to buy Half-Life, the Platinum Pack. It might have even been a hard copy. I might have went to the store because that was before my brain could even process purchasing things over the internet with a credit card, because no way mommy and daddy would let me have their credit card if they even had money on there anyways. Just kidding. Not kidding. I grew up poor. But anyways, video games were my escape, guys. Anyways, so Half-Life the Platinum Pack was the very first thing I ever activated in 2003. And the second thing that I activated, not necessarily purchased because I think it was two different sections, was the Left 4 Dead demo, the very first one.
Okay.
And after that, it was nothing between 2003 and 2000. What year was that when Left 4 Dead came out? Eight?
That's, no, probably earlier than
Left 4 Dead 1?
Seven, six or seven.
Probably Left 4 Dead 1. No. It was after high school, I think. Yeah. I think it was 08. Yeah, so in that 5-year streak, I was probably too busy playing WoW to ever be on Steam.
Yeah.
But I kind of did that jump from the Half-Life pack, so Counter-Strike 1.6, and then Left 4 Dead. And even before I bought Counter-Strike Source, I was just playing Left 4 Dead instead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was nothing else on Steam other than Valve games for the longest time.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the first third-party game I bought was Ninja Reflexes. It was a game of mini games. You play as like a ninja hand, and you try to like catch fish really quickly or throw shurikens really quickly.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. Train your inner ninja.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Glove, and your glove is basically your cursor.
You know, ninjas are so much cooler now that Ninja has become the number one Twitch streamer.
I still have never seen this guy. But yeah, I know about his.
He's
his
a very average looking kid.
Yeah.
Classic American kid, I imagine, with a little bit of dyed hair.
Okay.
But he seems like a very likable guy, but no exceedingly extraordinary traits about him.
Gotcha.
You know, was Tyler 1 is super ripped, but then Ninja looks.
Big ass bald head, too.
Ninja just looks like a classic American kid, in my
opinion.
Wasn't
he a pro gamer at one point?
Tyler? I have no idea.
No, Ninja.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Maybe. I thought he was competitive. Uh-oh.
Well, he's got next level reflexes.
I think the button broke on Noober's computer. It's just repeating the donation.
What did I miss?
Is it the same one?
No.
No, it's just a repeat. Okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Okay. Holy shit, you're scaring me over here.
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, no, it is. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Noober.
All right,
oh my gosh. Bobby, do the splits right now. We need this. Is that real?
I think it is.
Noober, thank you so much. Mm.
Have you checked out this money to see if it's actually going
not
through?
A repeat. That is so real.
These checks bouncing.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this might be a good opportunity to tell you guys that we actually have found some use for some of the money that we've been getting. We definitely want to have people on, listeners on, during the show, during the live show, not for any extended period of time, but kind of like taking in calls, having people jump on for a little bit. And and we're going to just get some new headphones. We got our headphone amp and a switchboard. I believe we're going to be purchasing this week. I'm hoping we can, I don't know. We're recording this very last minute, like on Tuesday.
Is there any room for track pants in there? Because I think Bobby needs to wear the track pants, do the splits, and then rip them off simultaneously. Wow. And then we can make that move a signature move and call it the Noober.
I don't know. I don't know if that's in my contract.
I honestly don't feel like we're worthy, Noober, but thank you so much.
Yeah. You know, once
thank
we
you
get
so
some
much.
Of those, yeah, thank you very much, man. You are making it happen. He's the benefactor of the DL Gaming Podcast. And once we get this new equipment, I'm a little worried that I'm going to be just cluttered with machinery here. So you guys are really going to have to, no more missing shows for Emilio here. He's going to have to
I think
to
we need
this.
A golden statue. I think my chair needs to be a golden statue of Noober, and I'm just like sitting on it. It's like a Noober throne.
Okay.
Noober, send us to the dimensions. This is happening.
This is chi on alcohol.
No, I'm sorry. I guess.
So before I forget, since you just said we are recording this on Tuesday, we have a rare opportunity today because Steam is actually reflecting sales that are going on that this episode will be able to air in time for. And I want to talk about, I would just talk about Metro, and that's on sale. Metro, Last Light, and both Redux and 20, or sorry, Last Light and 2033 Redux are on sale for like $3 or something, $4. They're both on sale. And I'm,
yeah, you get them both for $6 in the pack.
I'm going to get this because I was playing on a friend's account, and I don't want to be doing that now. I can just pay $6 for the entire pack. That's 80% off, or maybe 85% off if you get both of them. That's
worth it. Worth every single penny. No kidding. That's an amazing deal.
Yeah, wow. I'm going home tonight and getting this.
While we're doing this, do you want to just gift that to me, Bobby? I'm just kidding.
You don't have Metro Last Light?
No, not. I don't have Last. I might. Well, they have, honestly, I don't
I
know what
the Redux versions
my,
have replaced the original ones.
Library.
So maybe you have the older ones, but yeah. Maybe I'll play 2033. I love Last Light, but I don't know. I don't have the time. Who am I kidding?
Now, I've also been playing For Honor. I used to play this game. I played this game a lot when it first came out.
Yeah, you mentioned this last week. How's that going now?
The new servers, it's so clean. I love it. This game is perfect with
are there
these,
any ninjas in this game?
There are like two.
Yeah, there are ninjas.
Oh, yeah, there are ninjas. That's right.
So I play as the Orochi, which is like the original like ninja character. It's like my main or my only, really. And then they have a shinobi, which is kind of like as a kasarigama, like a chain sickle. And then they have a ronin, which is like a two katana with a straw hat person. Those are the three ninja in this game. But the game is centered around knights versus Vikings versus ninja. And you're all fighting for
versus
land.
Versus samurai?
Samurai ninja, type of the same.
It's weird because samurai and ninjas are completely opposite. But since they're both Asian, you could just categorize them
together,
right?
They're both Japanese, really, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, but yeah, it's I'm having a lot of fun with it. The game has made a lot of balance improvements. Before, it was just like the warden was like the what they call the vanguard knight, like basically the first knight character you get, which is so overpowered. I thought.
Are you playing with controller or mouse and keyboard?
This game is definitely you got to play with a controller. I know some people that play with a mouse and they're pretty good, but most people say you got to play with a controller to be pretty good at this game.
To optimize.
Yeah.
Combat.
And it's like, I look at this game as every fight you're in is like a Dark Souls fight, because you can just die at any moment. Somebody can just get a good combo on you and you're dead. Mm-hmm. Like you're
Or like a Street Fighter chain. Or...
Yeah, like even, yeah, because fights can last anywhere from like 5 seconds to 30 seconds, depending on how good both your defenses and offensive attacks are. You can do different combos and...
That's awesome.
And fake out attacks. It's a really awesome game.
It's like the good old days where combat really was just 1v1. Yeah. And if a battle was going on, instead of everybody just joining in and ganging up on one person, like in the movie, you know, unlike the movies, everyone's just spectating around you. They don't fuck with you if you're 1v1ing somebody else.
Depending on the game mode, yeah. If you play like a 2v2 game mode, you'll usually get like two honorable 1v1 matches. But sometimes you're playing the 4v4, people just jump in and try to destroy like 3v1. Just try to capture the point just to win the map, which is understandable, of course. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun playing this game. On Steam, I think the standard edition is like $15. And with that, you get like 6 characters, which is 3 Vanguard characters, which is like the first 3 characters of each faction, and then 3 characters of your choice, which is completely fine for me because I only use 1 character in the whole game. So
when
that would be fine for me.
When you are playing For Honor, how long of a gaming streak can you go? Because there are certain games that we can play, for instance, 10 hours at a time, right, Bobby? And then there are games that we can pick up and play for 30 minutes, 1 hour max, and then have to move on to something else. Where does For Honor lie?
Now, the fun factor for this game will last hours. Like, probably, like, I've played 5 hours probably through the weekend, like, in a streak, and then played another day 5 hours. But the game fatigue, that's where it gets you, because you have to be always on your toes. Like, every fight you're in, you have to be 100% into it. And if you just, like, miss a beat, you're just going to start getting destroyed, then you get tilted, and it just doesn't get any better.
What kind of penalty do you suffer when you lose again? Anything, really, other than wasting your time?
We talking about, like, when losing a whole battle, or what?
Or losing the match,
so,
I suppose.
Yeah, the match is you can respawn. You're trying to, like, capture points in, like, the main game mode. Basically, it's kind of like Overwatch. Like, if you win, you get more points. But if you lose, you still get some points, but just not as much.
Okay. Yeah. So no matter what, you always come out on top a little
bit.
And
they did fix the the loot box system before. It was like really hard to get in-game loot boxes by just grinding away. Mm-hmm. And that was like a huge problem that Ubisoft came under flak like originally, like over a year ago now. Mm-hmm. And they kind of fixed it so you get more money per game, or more in-game money per fight you win. But you can also pay to win. But the items you get really aren't much better than the standard items.
Hmm. Okay. Like
standard items, if you're better than the other person, you're going to beat somebody who paid to win.
I like that. Yeah. I think it's...
Wasn't Emilio saying very last fair for week, games. We've got someone asking about the AI in the game. Wasn't that really bad at first? But then Emilio was saying it was a lot better the last time he played. Like they made big improvements.
The AI was pretty good.
Really?
Now the AI isn't perfect still, but I mean,
I didn't play enough of this game to really notice.
I think
he's talking
about the single player though. I didn't play the single player.
Oh.
The single player AI acts differently than the multiplayer AI.
And Emilio preferred to play this game single player because of server issues from what I recall.
This game had a tough release. I wonder if it can build. I mean, it's got, according to Steam charts, it's got like 4,000 people playing right now. That's a pretty good community.
It's up 2,000 from last week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not bad. So I'm wondering if they'll be able to build back their player base.
I'm back in it, and I think I was playing with Slapnuts as well, and he's back into it.
This kind of reminds me of, for instance, it's a game with amazing potential, but the execution just fell short, almost such as Hunt Showdown. I feel like the game itself, amazing, but in terms of the bugginess, the server complications, the fact that it's still early release, all of those kinks need to be worked out before I can really see myself dedicating myself to the game again. Because to pick up and play, there's almost always one or two complaints you can throw out there, so it doesn't give you an authentic experience of the game, which will completely deter you from playing it at all. Whereas For Honor, I feel like they finally are at that point where the things that would normally deter you from not playing the game are gone. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but definitely for me, because the main problem was the loot box system was just ridiculous. The and the peer-to-peer servers, or servers quotes, was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the worst part of the game. Like, a host advantage was just ridiculous in this game.
Hmm. Yeah, and you can buy into the game for $15. That's not a huge investment.
And that's all I would need. I'm not playing.
This game was $60 when it came out, and that's what they call the standard edition. But the starter edition, I mean, for $15, that's not too bad.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you brought up Hunt as well, because they just came out with a new update, which fixed a lot of bugs, but that I can't say anything for the servers yet.
Or the gameplay? Or
it was just like, just bugs.
No
just
new
crashing
content.
Bug stuff.
Okay, I mean, that's something.
Something.
That's
it was a
something.
Pretty big update. They addressed a lot of bugs, so that's good, but I can't say anything
for the
servers
games
yet.
That come out in early release, if they don't do enough in a short amount of time, then the game will die.
Yeah.
And it seems like a very common equation for a lot of early release games out there.
Hmm. Yeah, so I could have, For Honor, I probably would have gave that a mixed review. Mm-hmm. But now that I give it a thumbs up, like, for real. Get this game. If you want to play a game that you really need to understand the fighting mechanics and you're probably going to get your ass kicked a lot, play this game. It's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
If you want to wake up and be a samurai today, play For Honor. Fight alongside your ninja brothers For Honor.
And is there anything else on that list? I think that's all I've played this week.
Yep, that was about it. Did anyone see Ready Player One?
I did.
What? I was supposed to see it, but I had to postpone because the people I was going to see it with canceled on me. So,
oh no!
Probably this weekend.
Your girlfriend stood you up, or
no,
she's probably
we were
not interested
see
in
friends.
Seeing that.
No, she's interested. I read the book, so I feel obligated to see it. I am cautiously optimistic, though. Was it good?
I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I wasn't comparing it to the book because I've never read the book. My intentions with Ready Player One, I actually wrote it down in my phone when I was coming back to San Diego. I was hoping to borrow the book from you and read it before I watched the movie, but the movie was released sooner than I thought it was going to be, so I had no chance to read the book. But going in, clean slate, I enjoyed the movie. It wasn't by any means the best movie I've seen. The quality wasn't on par with maybe Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was entertaining, though.
But it was definitely entertaining and relatable. I think any gamer can watch this movie and relate.
Do you think the fan service was a bit over the top?
What do you mean by fan service?
Like, just like how many like nerd references they had? Do you think it was just like coming at you too much?
No, I don't think it was overwhelming. If anything, it was underwhelming.
Okay.
Because they were very minute. They were things. They were almost like Easter eggs in themselves. Okay. I know Easter eggs are such a huge part of this movie, but a lot of the little video game references that are there are either blatant and in your face, or you really had to have been paying attention to all the audio and or visual cues. Like, for instance, I just saw Hello Kitty. I didn't see her when I saw the movie. Okay. So it's one of those movies, if you just look up a video or watch it twice over, you'll catch things that you didn't catch the original time.
Okay.
And kinda I think...
like, was it Wreck-It Ralph?
Wreck-It Ralph. That was straight up video game regurgitation. Like, that was just overstimulation of gaming references.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. And Wreck-It Ralph was
a good story.
Good movie.
Ralph.
Oh,
yeah,
I love
a good movie. And this one, I would say, is the same. It's actually more subtle than you might assume.
I would marry Sarah Silverman right now.
Who? Sarah Silverman?
She's in this movie?
She
played the candy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
No, she's a little too Jew for me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Whoa.
And a little bit too, like, vagina.
That took a turn.
Yeah, she's, like, 100% too much vagina for my taste.
Okay. Well, this movie's getting... I want to say mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And especially from people I've talked to, not movie critics. I'm hearing both sides of the story here. I mean, you go into it and you know there's going to be a lot of references. People were excited on the hot subreddit because there was Jim Raynor and he was wearing a skin from Heroes of the Storm. So it definitely wasn't a StarCraft reference. He was wearing a specific skin that is only in Heroes of the Storm.
Which one is it?
It's the American flag skin.
That's I would not have known that. I saw that and I was like, hell yeah, StarCraft. But then Bobby, if you saw that, you would be like, hell yeah, Heroes of the Storm. Yeah.
Well, Heroes of the Storm because he's wearing a skin that's exclusive to that game. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, Raynor's obviously.
Not the American flag power armor. Oh, but the Ranger skin? The American?
No, it's the American flag power armor.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah.
They even referenced Twitch streams in this game, movie, which I know did not exist in the book. And so it's interesting.
Well, in the book, everything was an 80s reference.
Yeah.
And they really dove deep into that. Like, it almost got a little obnoxious in the book. But in the movie, I hear they're just, like, everything's free game, which kind of makes sense. I mean, if you have a place that, like, if the Oasis actually existed, everybody would be dressing up as their favorite whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be... It's going to have that stuff in it. I think that's totally appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't know. My only concern is that it's just, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's got to be exactly like the book or they left this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm totally okay with them having kind of a different direction. You have to do that with a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, books are just too long to put everything in there.
The movie was very long too. I watched, I think, the latest showing. I started the movie at 10. I didn't leave the movie theater until a quarter before one. So it's definitely a very long movie, too long in certain moments, but there are a lot of, I think there was enough quality to make it worth watching in theaters, in my opinion, especially if you're a gamer.
Yeah. I just hope there's going to be something there story-wise and not just like Pixel. Did you guys ever see that movie? I mean, it wasn't that good, but it was just remember that? Yeah.
No,
I mean,
I haven't.
Was just like nothing but callbacks, but no real point to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, either way, it's got to be visually good, right?
It was visually very appealing and definitely one for the gamers. Outside of that, I can't offer too harsh of a criticism on it.
All right.
Because if you look it up in Google, from what I recollected, it had really good Google reviews, I think over 90%. Metacritic gave it 60%, and Rotten Tomatoes or something else or another gave it around 70%.
Well, so aggregate sites are terrible
reviews.
Anyway,
yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I try not to bank too much on that. All right, you ready to talk about some news?
Let's talk about news.
Let's do it.
News. All right. So first up, we've got... EA, yet again, overhaul Star Wars loot boxes.
So this is the third time, maybe fourth time, they've changed their loot box system. The first time was they took it away completely. They took the pay to purchase.
Pay to win kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess pay to win. But you couldn't purchase them with real money anymore. And then they brought it back saying, okay, we always said we were going to bring it back, but now we changed it, so we're bringing it back now. And now they're overhauling it again, saying that you can't really, you can't, like, get any loot box and just get any weapon at any level. Like, you have to play the game a certain amount of time. Once your character reaches a certain level, then you can start crafting the weapon for that level.
So they just want you to play their game longer basically. In order to, which generally is how games are structured.
Yeah. And it's less pay to win now.
Okay.
Now, the reason I put that in there was because I wanted to segue into the next segment, which was Shadow of War is removing loot boxes completely. So they're...
What were Shadow of War loot boxes? What
you
was
could,
inside
like,
of them?
You could purchase follower orcs.
Okay.
So you can purchase like high level or have a chance to get high level orcs to storm the towers, the castles that you're
so
trying
to... So it just made the game easier for you?
Yeah, you could bypass a lot of the game's content.
Okay.
Just purchase orcs and then just rush the tower. Because a lot of the game centered around you find a castle, find the guy who owns the castle, and then you try to take over the castle.
By paying, you essentially save time.
Save a lot of time.
Okay.
Because the grinding in that game was kind of extensive for trying to take a castle. It took a lot of grinding.
It's interesting how many games that are available out now that can be single player and or multiplayer that involve so much grinding but aren't MMOs. When I think of the term grinding, all I think about are MMOs.
Yeah.
But nowadays, especially with the implement of loot boxes and different rewards, and grinding seems like it's available. Grinding is a whole new definition, in a sense.
I agree with that completely, and I think because like MMOs have been kind of dying out. Nobody's making new MMOs. Nobody's getting into new MMOs.
It's hard to convince a friend to say, "Hey, download this MMO with me.
Right?
Let's play this. Yeah, let's make it to end game. Let's have the time of our lives."
Too much to start up, I guess. But I think. Because of that, like a lot of MMO game ideas are coming into single-player games. Like that's how I thought about Dragon Age Inquisition. I didn't like that game because it felt like a single-player MMO. You just do like shitty quests for people you don't care about
That's
for the
true.
Entirety of the game.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of games that have been coming out like that. And Shadow of War, it wasn't a bad game, but it was kind of like just like the first one with a few different mechanics. So it felt MMO-y. You just do side quests. And just wait until you level up until you can take the castle. But yeah, I don't really like those type of games where you just do a whole bunch of side quests and it feels kind of empty just to have like one goal.
Now, speaking for Emilio, back in my day when I was playing EverQuest, I had to grind on these like weird crab things on the beach just to get one drop, which had a 0.00001 percentile of dropping, but I did it anyways. In fact, I got two. That's how hard I grinded these fucking Murlocs on the beach. I know Murlocs aren't in EverQuest. That's a WoW reference, but fuck it. I'm Emilio. I'm going to take a drink.
Did you sell it after you got it, Emilio?
No, because after a patch, it became fucking worthless. I ended up throwing away. It turned into a legendary, turned into a gray item. I fucking trashed that shit. And then I punched myself in the balls and I uninstalled.
Well, thank you for the experience, Emilio. Glad to have you. Please don't pee on us.
God.
And now I have to get up and pee because I'm Emilio. I'll be right back.
Fantastic. Let's see how much stuff gets knocked over here. Oh, she navigated the studio. All right, so we talked a little bit about this earlier. Yeah, PUBG's got a new map.
Yeah.
So this is a 4v4 map. They're going for smaller gameplay.
4v4? Or 4x4? I think it's a 4x4 map.
I have no idea.
So, yeah.
I don't play PUBG. Fill me in.
So I don't play PUBG either. I guess I know a little bit more about you. I wouldn't expect that. But, yeah, it's a 4x4 map. And the first one was an 8x8, or I think the other two are both 8x8 maps. So this is what... 75% smaller is only 25% the size.
Didn't Fortnite do this? And PUBG it was very successful in Fortnite. People wanted it in PUBG and now they're putting it in there.
I can't say for sure if it was in Fortnite, but if you say so, I'm going to agree with you.
Okay.
But yeah, it's only on test servers right now, so it hasn't been released. It's called Savage, and it reminds me of, what does it remind me of? I was just thinking of the game earlier. It's a jungle map, basically jungle huts and in a jungle setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cricket Soldier just say it's a 4 kilometer by 4 kilometer. And I think the other ones are 8 by 8.
I see. So it's a smaller map. You get into the action quicker.
Yeah, a lot. And I think this is the same amount of people, or maybe not. But still, it's good. They say a lot of the reviews have said that it's fight after fight after fight. There is no running for 3 minutes trying to like escape the blue or trying to find your next house, your next dwelling or neighborhood or something.
Yeah,
it's a lot more action-packed. People are liking it.
We've got some more clarification because our listeners know more than we do. So it's Fortnite does not have this mode. They have a faster game mode, limited time frame. So this is why we need our headsets and the other equipment so we can just have people hop on and set us straight. Or we could do the research ourselves, but who wants to do that?
Yeah, it's tough knowing, trying to know everything about games, man.
Well, I just, you know, when it comes to PUBG and Fortnite, I just don't care.
Yeah, no,
it's
I agree.
It's too bad. I mean, I know everyone else likes it, either, but
I just see a headline. I'm like, oh, might as well read about this. See, because I know a lot of
I mean, it's
like
one of the biggest
listeners.
Things in gaming right now.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah. That's cool. I like this kind of jungle map. I like the looks of it. It reminds me of Battlefield Vietnam.
Okay, yeah, that works.
There we go.
Sorry about that.
All
the
right.
Explosion,
mic
guys.
Down, folks. Mic down. I bet that sounded great. Oh my God. I don't see any.
Why
audio.
Is Amelia's mic so
Hold
on? Can you hear
I think,
me?
I think you seriously fucked up the OBS here. Chat, can you hear us?
Scroll down because I think
Where's my mouse?
It's oh, there it is. Just scroll down. It's on the other
Okay,
scroll.
No, we're still good. There we go. All right.
pardon the ghost of Emilio. His mic just went crash landing to the ground. My apologies.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for news. Let's get into some listener questions because we've got quite a few here and
we
want to get to
cover the whole Valve thing.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk hardware.
What is this?
So Valve is removing the Steam Machine section from their page. Well, they have already removed it. They kind of did it without anybody's noticing it. They just kind of... Ninja Vanish. The Steam Machine. So it's no longer on the Steam page, on the Steam hardware page.
So not the most successful move by Valve.
Definitely.
Steam Machines were something that they had been talking about for quite some time, and I think they actually hit the market 2014, 2015, but nobody bought them, and for good reason. I mean, who needs something like this? What purpose does it serve?
I signed up for the free beta. They were sending out some free, I guess, alpha releases of this. And it, like, if you lived in California, they would just send it to you. And if you got like your name pulled out of a hat, basically, I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get it. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember this. I remember when they announced this too, and I thought it was their first step into competing in the console world. Lessons learned.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think this was a bit of a reaction as well to some things that Microsoft was doing, and it was a concern that Microsoft may not be the best way to play your games. It seemed like they're going to be a lot more restrictive with gaming on that platform. So I saw it as kind of like a fail safe in case, you know, all of a sudden Windows, you can't play games on Windows for whatever reason. They require all these things. Like you at least can get your Steam box. It's totally unregulated. It's running like a version of Linux, basically Steam OS, and you can play all your games on there. But I don't know. I mean, it's a good idea. You have a free operating system. You've got a machine that runs games fairly well and is small and compact. But I guess it was supposed to be like a living room device, but just never really caught on.
I've never, well, especially since they have, the, what's it called again, where
Steam Link?
Steam Link. Mm-hmm. It's virtually the same effect. Without the hardware and the unnecessary
like
plunge
for your games.
Into
for like console players to play PC games without having to build a $2,000
PC. Oh, so that's what they were trying to attract the console market.
Right.
Oh no, you put too much faith in those console
gamers. I don't
think
they had any specific
plan. Where you fucked up, Valve.
Well, that's the thing. It's like who's going to buy this? That was always the question. Who is going to buy this?
Yeah.
Who is this marketed towards? And they never really clarified that. All the things you mentioned, they could absolutely work for that, but I don't know. It was just came out and it was like, this isn't something that we need. There's no need for this. This is a solution to a problem we do not have. So
How much did it cost, or does it?
They
cost?
Ranged, I think, on the very cheap end, maybe $250. But they were, I mean, these are Alienware devices. Yeah. Those ones were much more expensive.
Yeah,
$600-$800.
So now it's going to be a retro item, one of those collectibles.
They're
going to
start giving away for $1.
It would probably do better.
Bundles.
It would do better as a collectible.
Yeah. Do you guys have a Steam Link? Did you ever get on those deals where you get it for $1?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
I don't have one personally, but I know Emilio and Chad had one, and we used it quite a few times over at their old place.
I have one. I haven't tried using it, attempted to use it yet. Yeah. I think it's just on the shelf collecting dust.
Yeah, I have it just in case, because it was for $1, and the game that I was bundled with was decent. So I was like,
okay.
I think it came out to like $8 for the game and the Steam Link. So I was like, yeah, whatever, why not? Mm-hmm.
They're really pushing it out there, which is a smart idea. Like, they're doing the same thing with the Google Homes and the Alexas, because if you get those out into households and people have those, then you've got them in your ecosystem. So it's really important to do that.
Got little spies, little ninjas everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we did hardware. Let's go. Let's get some listener questions. We got quite a few. Now, I'm thinking we're going to save one until Emilio gets back. We'll hold off on that one. But first up, quite a long one here. Nathan asks, how do you guys think of Steam as a piece of software? I don't know about other people, but it feels like the tackiest, most dated piece of software I have on my computer. What makes it worse is that it's almost a necessity for a PC gamer. It's literally a glorified web browser right at home in Windows XP. They need to update it like really bad, in my opinion. I agree with most of that. Yeah. I think we had a big discussion / argument about that a couple weeks ago about Steam and their relevance. I think around the time we were talking about Artifact or them planning to make more games. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying it for a while, like Steam is not what it used to be. We all kind of hold it in such high regard because of achievements they've had in the past. But if you look at it now, yeah, I mean, what has Steam done lately? What have they done to that software?
On the contrary, I don't think they've needed to change much because whatever money pumping equation that they're using is still working. Yeah. It's still the only source.
They're getting rich, absolutely.
And in comparison to other options out there, it's still on top. I can't complain about Steam because it's standard. It's easy. I have my friends list. I see what they're playing. I have my store homepage and my curated list, and it makes everything easy. It for me, in regards to just purchasing games, having my library there and having my library available on any new rig that I use, Blizzard hasn't come close to that. Purchasing a game from Blizzard is like going to their website, getting locked out of your own account, and then calling in to say your account was hacked, and then, or et cetera, et cetera. I feel like as much as we can complain about Steam not reinventing itself, it's like trying to reinvent the wheel. The wheel itself is a working structure. There's not much more you need to do when it's already working.
Now, do you guys, either of you use Steam skins?
No. I did like 10 years ago.
Okay.
But I think Steam has really untapped potential in social media.
Oh, yes.
Like, they're severely lacking in that.
Like, if Steam and Discord somehow had a baby, that would be awesome.
Well, but I mean, with their pages, I mean, the way that they handle the feed, most people don't even know that the Steam activity feed exists, but there's so much more they could be doing, on the community hubs. I mean,
really use it for that.
I check the community feed so rarely, like maybe once a month.
Yeah, there's no reason to really go there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you can still buy your games there. The software runs fine for me, but Steam's great. To me, they're like Microsoft. They are a necessity. They're just always there and they do their job fairly well. But I don't look at Steam for innovating, which is, I think when they announced like we're coming out with games and everyone got excited, while I was downplaying it a little bit, because I don't look to Steam for innovation. They're making a lot of money and they're doing just fine. They have no reason, no motivation, they have no reason to change anything, to do anything other than what they're doing right now. And that is just
nobody
be a marketplace.
Well, and it's strange because no matter where you outsource anything, especially playing games, activating games, getting access to your games, a lot of these keys out there just refer you back to Steam. You have to go back to Steam and activate your product and play through Steam. And you have to add your friends on Steam in order to play with them, period.
Yeah, I get kind of annoyed when I have like a product key that doesn't go to Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I like it makes you download a different and a brand new set of software that you're going to forget your username and password to because, you know, we're all getting old, guys.
Like, I have those all those Twitch Prime free games that I have never touched.
Cause no one's ever going to use those.
I am not touching that Twitch software.
Yeah, no one's ever going to use that. I mean, I claim those, but I'm like, yeah, I'm never touching that.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing. It's mine now if I ever need it or ever want to play it out of some weird urge, but no, I'm not going to.
Yeah, so I don't know. For me, bottom line, I don't hate Steam. It is what it is, but I don't expect much from them either. And it's a shame, too, because I really feel like there's untapped potential there in a few areas.
I agree with you on that they could be doing so much more. But at the same time, it being what it is, I was on Steam the same year I was on AOL Instant Messenger, and I got rid of that shit. Like maybe a year in AIM. And you remember how prominent that was in like the social community of getting out, going out to people, or even Xfire has died. All the classic voice community, like almost all of the classic voiceover programs like Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, all of that has kind of dissipated.
Killed Skype for me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Skype, I was prominent on Skype for a very long time until Discord came around. And Steam is the one monster. It's the one beast that, it hasn't changed much. But at the same time, it's still our foundation for PC gaming. I can't be mad that it's still up and running and working.
Yeah.
And it didn't just delete my library and pretend that it doesn't exist anymore because the company tanked or anything else like that.
So they're staying afloat. That's good.
I can't even account for my physical games. All of my physical games that I own are in storage. I have to drive 15 minutes away, walk another 10 minutes to my storage unit, open it up, wipe off the dust, bring it back to my house, plug everything in, and play something old school.
Yeah.
Whereas Steam, it's still accessible within 20 seconds of a click.
I don't think, even on consoles, I don't think physical games are going to be that popular anymore with things like this Microsoft Game Pass. And, you know, I think PlayStation's got their own version of it.
And when you think about it, PlayStation's, Xboxes, Nintendo Wii's, no matter what, you can count on them coming out with a next generation console and making everything in the past obsolete. Steam keeps everything concurrent with what you want. Like, if you want to go back and, well,
do
unfortunately,
Dino
Park Tycoon is not available on Steam. So, yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's on Google Games. GOG.com. It'll eventually be on there. There's so many games that I have wishlisted on GOG.com, and I've realized recently that they're now available on Steam as well. So I think a lot of those games make it to Steam, but they aren't on the front page. There's no announcement about it. They just happen to be there one day. So eventually, maybe Dino Park will be there. All right, next question coming from Shady Chick. What game, if it was flawlessly brought to VR, would actually get you into VR gaming?
Ooh, we had the question like this before. World of Warcraft.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they had VR support for that.
Wow, they did?
I have no idea, but I thought it seems like they would. They had 3D vision support for it.
I'm sure Emilio's answer would be Skyrim.
Well, they do have that.
Yeah.
These are all games.
But we don't know if it's flawless yet. Like, she's saying flawlessly brought.
Well, we talked last week about how they were going to have that new.
I don't know. I feel like with Emilio, is there a game where everyone is naked and
Conan?
If Age of Conan had VR support, that's hilarious.
I'll tell you what would do it for me, and I've said this before. If they had a way, not even a game, but a way of viewing HGC matches for Heroes of the Storm, like you can in Dota 2, where you watch competitive games in VR. If they had that for Heroes of the Storm, I'd probably get it.
They had that for CSGO for a short while. I'm not sure if they still.
Yeah, I don't know if they even do it anymore for Dota, but I remember that was a big thing. Like, you could put on your VR set and actually look at the map. Everything pops out. You go where you want to go.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. But I don't know. Other than that, I don't think there's like a specific title that could bring me into VR. Like, I'd say something like Doom or Wolfenstein, but that exists. You know, Doom has VR support, but I don't know. It's got to be something. You can't take a game that already exists and kind of adapt it to VR, there's going to be some problems there. You got to have a game that was built with VR in mind. Those are the best VR games, in my opinion.
It would be a lot of fun to have some type of, if you've watched Black Mirror season 2, episode 1, mm-hmm. Where it revolves around a virtual reality, but imports the actual reality, like reality character and DNA and persona, where you're just in a spaceship or some type of hub or something sci-fi would be fun in VR, where you're just going from planet to planet. And it essentially is just like a social hub, mm-hmm. if anything else.
That's what I like most about VR is the social aspect of it, not even really the gaming.
I'd definitely have to go with like a MotoGP game for motorcycle racing. That would definitely be mine.
For some reason, I was thinking jet skis.
The reason why I would say World of Warcraft,
jet moto,
though.
Maybe.
Jet moto, that's
the reason why I would say World of Warcraft, though, is it's to appeal to the nostalgic side of me. I would want to, through VR, first-person mode, through the eyes of my undead mage, just walk, jump on a Zeppelin, and just be like, what's that?
But would you really want to like, picking penny blossoms all day and trying to sell them on the market?
Throwing fireballs? Fuck yeah. I would throw fireballs all day in VR. Hell yeah.
About it, when we had the interview, a magic game where you actually like, do the motions of casting a spell and then you would cast a spell.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
See, doing all the motions, that gets very tiring after a while in VR. I don't know. I can't think of anyone being like, I just had a whole day of work. Now I want to sit down and then get up and then do a bunch of...
Well, Bobby, you would be able to unlock some amazing like character traits with the splits alone. The fact that you could physically do the splits, that would just break the game. That would put you in a whole new tier of combat ability.
That'd be quite an achievement.
Yeah. Level 99 ninja of reflexes. Let's do it.
Next question coming from NJ Slap. What TV show would you like to see made as a video game?
So NJ Slap, that is Slap Nuts, by the way.
Okay. He's got a new
name. Oh, cool.
Name.
Hi, Slap Nuts.
Yeah. All right. So TV show as a video game. I don't know. Cheers.
What? Is that a dating sim?
You could go so many different ways with that. You could go Telltale, you know, story driven. You could go like Valhalla, cyber bartender, whatever. Yeah,
oh
you could do a lot of things with a Cheers the game. Yeah.
Of all the shows in the world.
It could be a dating sim, you know, Sam and Diane, will they, won't they situation. A lot of options there. I can't believe it hasn't been done yet already. Point and click adventure. I mean.
Be a drunk simulator.
Yeah. And there is 100% authenticity behind his response there. I am.
If you saw Cheers the game, you wouldn't click on that.
I'm just waiting for the cap of face, and it's not coming out. Bobby is so serious right now.
No, he is serious, but like, it's also, is he? I don't know.
I think he is.
Deadpan humor is so hard to...
I'm always looking for something new here, you know? Like, if I see the same games all the time, if
Westworld.
I saw Cheers,
my answer is Westworld.
Westworld would be good.
That's a good answer, Bobby. Cheers is not a good answer. Westworld is a good answer.
Oh, you're talking about the TV show. Yeah, okay. So, I haven't watched the TV show. I've seen Yul Brynner and Richard Benjamin.
Who are these people? Are these like old actors from the 80s?
You know that was a movie before it was a TV show, right?
I do know.
Okay.
All right. Westworld VR. There you go. That's your answer. Westworld VR.
You guys don't know, you fucking millennials. Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, I guess that would work.
Ninja Turtles. They've done it, though. So
yeah.
Okay, wrong.
Dude, Ninja Turtles, come on.
I do want to get that new Ninja Turtles game.
But you got a straight F, because Ninja Turtles has so many games.
Well, there's a new one
on TV show that doesn't have a video game mini. Did you read the listener question?
Yeah, it didn't say anything about a show that's not a video game yet. See, the new one, Portal Power.
Okay, let me rewrite the question for you from NJ_Slapnuts, or Slap. What TV show that has not been created into a video game would you make as a video game?
Okay, rewording the listener question.
Exactly.
Now.
Just like he rewarded his own name.
Well, that's a MASH, I think.
What is MASH?
It's a, it's centered around a hospital. Was it Vietnam, was it, Bobby? I think it was a hospital, army hospital in Vietnam. And it's just like a whole
Yeah, you never heard of MASH? It's like the most widely watched TV show. The finale was the highest watched of all time ever in history?
I don't know. I haven't had cable TV since I moved away from my parents' house. No, I'm sorry.
The theme song?
Yeah, the theme song was very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, but yeah, it was yeah, it was sent around a hospital. I think it was in Vietnam or
That's
Korea.
Cool.
And yeah, it was just like a surgeon simulator type, I would suspect.
But okay.
Very, very dramatic.
There you go.
It had very dramatic themes.
No, I've never heard of MASH.
Trashzilla in chat says It's Always Sunny. There's a TV show.
That's a fun one. That would be a telltale game.
That show cracks me up so much. I identify with Dennis in that show so much, but I've been rewatching it too.
Bobby's totally a Dennis. I see it now. You would totally give yourself a blowjob.
That episode that is, where he's on the boat.
Self fellatio, Bobby.
He keeps talking
over here
about the implication, like, and then the other guy's just like, "Are you talking? You're not actually going to like hurt these girls." He's like, "No, but you know the implication." And he's just like, he's always kind of crazy, but like, yeah. Yeah, that's a great show. Those guys should do, maybe they already have, but those guys should do voices in like a Grand Theft Auto game. They would fit right in.
They
like,
would.
Be perfect.
They totally would.
I could see Charlie doing something like that.
Charlie has been branching out there. I mean, he's in Pacific Rim. I don't know what else he's in. But then Dennis has his own show. Dee has her own show.
I started watching. Mm. Oh, that show is weird.
Which one?
The one with Dee.
It's like, I like it.
Like,
it's on season two already.
It's, yeah, it's a good show. Yeah. But it makes me like uncomfortable watching that.
It really is uncomfortable. Yeah.
Danny DeVito is what made me start watching that show.
Yeah. No, he adds a lot to it. I love when he talks about going to hang out with the bridge people, and then you're going to finally get to see the bridge people, and they're like these just low lives. And that's what I always think sometimes about.
The Frank and Charlie relationship is what really sells me in Always Sunny.
You're both morons. Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great.
Yeah, a guy I used to know, he's occasionally on that show. I can't remember his title, but like he works on the show, but every now and then I'll see him in it and it cracks me up.
Is he like a returning character at all?
No,
or is he kind of an extra?
No, yeah, no speaking roles or anything like that. Like he's been in like two episodes.
So
or
you're
a
fan of Always Sunny. You know, the main character of Westworld is one of the, what's the brother's name?
Oh, the McPoyles.
Yeah. He's one of the McPoyles. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Yeah. He was on Leonard Moulton's podcast.
Watch Westworld. Bobby, watch Westworld, please.
I don't do TV.
Oh, it's that green screen life, though. You should be all about it.
No, I don't do that kind of TV. The kind of TV where it's got like an hour and a half long first pilot episode, and then the season's 12 episodes long, and like you have to pay attention to every little detail.
Yeah, no, it definitely is one of those shows.
That shit's work. Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
But,
yeah, lost room for me.
I understand where you're coming from.
All right. Well, we got off on a tangent. Warconius asks, single player campaigns is what I do the most. What are your favorite single player PC campaigns in RTS, FPS, turn-based, platformer, and third-person action stealth? I could have swore we did this question last week.
You were saying that, but I don't recall. Maybe something similar? Because I don't recall.
Maybe it was
question.
Something similar. Okay. So favorite single player PC campaigns. Tell you what, Prey, maybe because it's fresh in my mind, but Prey is up there on my list.
Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one for me.
Are we
single
talking
player.
About like a, is it, did you want one for each of those topics? Each
no.
One
pick I think few. He just says.
Man, see, I didn't read on PC, and like I wasn't even thinking that, but like I had like queued up in my mind games that aren't on PC.
See, I know we answered this before because I was talking about how Warcraft 3, maybe this is all in my head and I imagined it, I don't know, but I was talking about how Warcraft 3 has one of the few RTS stories that I actually liked, but I don't know, maybe that was because it was so long ago. Like I still go back and I watch the cutscenes from Warcraft 3 just for the story. I got really into that one for some reason.
For mine, I think I asked this question as well, but I remember saying StarCraft was my favorite campaign because the story.
StarCraft 2?
One.
StarCraft 1.
Yeah, because it tells the like the birthing of the Zerg, where they came from and how they infested the galaxy.
I feel like you really have to, especially in StarCraft 1, Warcraft 3, those games, you really felt like you earned the cutscene. Like it was a reward.
Oh yeah.
Because they were so spread out, and you beat the level, and usually spend anywhere from 15 minutes to half an hour on a level in Warcraft.
Final Fantasy
3.
Games made you feel that way too.
And yeah, it wasn't as difficult though. Like Final Fantasy games, like you never really had to work hard.
Did they have cutscenes?
They did. They were really well known.
Okay.
What? That was what? Yeah, that yeah. Final
three.
Fantasy cutscenes. Yeah.
I haven't played a Final Fantasy
so anything
in a while.
Like PlayStation and beyond were well known for their 7 through 10, I guess, because they were like ahead of their times. But I'd say like Blizzard, their cutscenes like. they were so good for what when they were put out that it felt really good to see something that cool looking back in those early Blizzard days, like late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Blizzard had some really good like Warcraft 3, even Starcraft, like that was pretty good for its time.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. Those, especially the CGs back then, man. It was
awesome. I didn't play too much single player on StarCraft 1 or any of the Warcraft games, but StarCraft 2 is when I actually dived into campaign outside of anything else, and it was really good for RTS.
Yeah, the StarCraft, I feel like the cutscenes in that would make such a terrible action movie. It'd be like the cheesiest thing, but for some reason in a video game, it totally worked.
See StarCraft?
StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, yeah.
Yeah, with Tychus and Raynor and all that shit. Yeah. I still got to play the Protoss one. What is that?
Oh, the newest one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of it.
Heart of the Swarm. I played through that when it came out, but I bought the third expansion, and I have not gotten around to finishing it.
Yeah, I can't really think of what it's called. I know what you're talking about.
All right. Last question. Atrocious. What's your highest gaming accomplishment?
I swear we answered this one.
I think months ago this came up.
For me, I don't think I answered it this way if this did come up, but playing Volgar the Viking, a 2D platformer, really difficult. It probably took me only about a week, but that was like a strenuous week of playing like 6 hours a day trying to beat this game. The game is not forgiving.
Yeah, that's a tough game.
Yeah. It's if you guys ever watch Rage Quit? Rage Quit by Rooster Teeth.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So this guy plays the first level, or even like the first half of the first level, and it takes him a half an hour, and he's like, I can't do it. I'm done, guys. Bye. Can't. Yeah, it's just like a notoriously difficult game.
Yeah. Mm. No, that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like Ghosts and Goblins, but shitty.
Platformer. Yeah. Challenging.
Yeah, everything.
I think all platformers are hard, in my opinion, and I'll work through them, but there is never any platformer game that I will play without dying. I can't recall a platformer game that I felt was too easy.
You know what the problem with platformers is? At least for me, I feel like I always try to rush it. I always try to rush it. Like the boss fights, same with Dark Souls. Like there's a pattern, and you know the pattern. You learn the pattern, and you have to, you know, follow the pattern to be able to beat the boss. But I always try to get that extra hit in or do this, and I always take fuck it up. I get impatient with these types of games.
Yeah, that's something you can do.
Yeah, that's another thing that is, it reminds me too much of, platformers remind me a lot of classic gaming, and in classic gaming, it was a lot of reliving the same stage over and over and over again.
That's what this is.
And it just felt like insanity doing the same thing over and expecting different results. And you just realize that you're just so shitty. You might as well just stop playing and play another game. And that's why I never beat games. No, but my highest gaming accomplishment is probably 100%ing Mass Effect 2. And in order to do that, you had to play in the most challenging mode, and you had to transfer over a previous game save. And I studied the different achievements that I couldn't pass up when I was going through the game. And I enjoyed that game so much, probably one of the best games I've ever played. So Mass Effect 2, 100%ing it was my gaming highlight.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't think of a highest gaming accomplishment. Like there's nothing that I can really...
How about achieving a certain rank on HOTS?
That's what I said last time we answered this question. Okay. But when the way he phrased it, what's your highest gaming accomplishment? Like what really makes me stand out? I have no idea. Like I don't know.
Is there ever a game that you felt proud for beating?
How about here right now, Bobby? The forming of DLG podcast over 200 episodes in.
Never missing a DL gaming episode.
Yeah, out endured Emilio. This is it. This is the moment where you outdid Emilio. This is the one episode where Emilio had to sit out. He threw in his white flag and you're still here, strong and standing.
What's insane is we've never missed a week. We were supposed to post this morning. It's going to get posted tonight, but we've never not posted an episode after a week's time, which is crazy to me.
Now, in Emilio's defense, it did take him pissing and shitting and vomiting everywhere for him to miss an episode.
Yeah, I heard he pissed himself twice.
And was vomiting all day.
Well, I'm glad he's not here sharing that disease with us.
Definitely.
That's not something I want to be involved in.
Yeah, for our sake.
That is, I do not want to spend my next few days doing that.
Just don't share the same cup as him, you know?
Yeah. Well, wasn't that his cup?
Yeah. This cup, the cheetah print cup.
Oh, yeah. It's his favorite one. It's always drinking.
I was drinking my alcohol out of a coffee mug because it just feels more comfortable having a coffee mug in my hand instead of a water glass. Yeah. Put a pint glass in my hand and I just feel like I'm at work. So coffee mug, that's the way to go.
Yeah, the psychology of it, because they're shaped the same. It's just yours a handle and isn't clear.
And mine's got cheetah print on it.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up here. So you can catch us at dlgaming.net. There's links to everything on there. Our Twitter, our Twitch, Discord, be a part of the community, hit us up there, play some games with us. What's next week looking like for you guys? What games are you playing?
Oh man, I feel bad for not playing Dark Souls because I keep on saying we'll play more of that and I never do. But probably Metro, maybe Dark Souls, and probably For Honor.
Yeah. This is my first day off since coming back from vacation. So outside of recording this episode, I'm going to go home and start playing some more goddamn video games. I'm going to leave it like digging our hand into a Cracker Jack box, though. It's going to be a surprise. So right. Next week, find out what Smoochie has played.
CSGO.
You'll be surprised. I have a lot of games to catch up on.
Well, I'm going to try to finish Trine 3. I'm right there. So close. Probably going to try to scratch that one off the list. And then, I don't know. It feels like a chore when you go back and you just try to finish games that you've started just to, you know, check them off the list. Yeah. So I'm going to try to find something new. I got plenty of money saved up on Steam. So try to find something new, see what's on sale, get a new experience in. We'll see what it'll be.
Join in the Oasis, Bobby. Go watch Ready Player One.
Oh yeah, yeah. I should have seen that movie by the time I come back here.
I'm gonna go see that as well.
Awesome. All right. Someone call me an Uber. I'm kidding.
Right, since Emilio's not here, who's gonna sign us out?
Speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, Influenza Titties.